The Gemara in Sanhedrin Chof Aleph and Bees, towards the end, discusses the mitzvah of Ksiva Sifa Torah. We know that there are two separate mitzvahs of Ksiva Sifa Torah. There's one mitzvah for every Jew to write a Sefer Torah. And that Sefer Torah he does not have to carry around with him at all times. And then there's a mitzvah for a melech, for a king, to write two Sefer Torah. One which he doesn't have to carry around with him at all times, and a second which he does. There's an interesting discussion about what exactly is the status there, basically, of the one Sefer Torah of a regular person and two Sefer Torah of a melech. I first want to point out that in the Gemara, there's no mention at all that an ordinary person has to write the Sefer Torah lishmo, that he has to have it written with him in mind, as opposed to by the melech, where the Braisa in the Gemara says, the Kasav Lois Mishnei Torah Zos Al Sefer Kosev Lishmo Shtei Toros, that he writes two Toros Lishmo. So what that sounds like is that even the first Torah of a Melech, even the Torah that the Melech is allowed to put into his treasure house, just like any ordinary Jew can put his Torah into Aron Kodesh and never take it out, that Torah of a Melech is different than the Torah of an ordinary Jew. Because an ordinary Jew need not write his Torah Lishma. The Melech, it sounds like he needs to write the Torah Lishma. Kosev Shnei Toros Lishmo. So that's one question. One thing that seems to indicate that the Melech's Torah is different than the Torah of an ordinary person. Another thing is the opinion of the Rambam. The Gemara says that Lo Yisna'e Mishal Avosav, that the Melech, and the Gemara adds on that an ordinary Jew also is not supposed to suffice with the Sefer Torah that he inherited from his father. He has to do an act that shows that she values the Sefer Torah, values the Dvar Hashem. Inheritance is very passive. He should either, at least when it comes to an ordinary Jew, he should either buy a Torah or commission a Torah or complete the writing of a Sefer Torah, or even the best of all, he should write the entire Torah himself. All of these acts demonstrate a person's value and esteem and chashivos for the Torah. So lo yisna'e b'shal avosav, you should not simply suffice and be proud of his father's Torahs, he should be proud of his own Torah, he should write a Torah himself. Now, the Gemara expands this and says this applies to an ordinary Jew also. An ordinary Jew, like a melech, is not supposed to be misna'e b'shal avosav, he's not supposed to suffice with his father's Torah that he inherited, but rather he's supposed to write the Torah on his own. And Rashi says that basically the ordinary Jew is supposed to write one Torah on his own, and the king is supposed to write two Torahs on his own, meaning that neither of the Torahs can be satisfied, neither of the requirements of the king's Torah can be satisfied with the Sefer Torah that was inherited. However, the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam writes that the Sefer Torah, which a king keeps in his storehouse, the way that an ordinary Jew can keep a Torah in an Aron Kodesh, that Sefer Torah for the king is sufficient if it's inherited. And only the second Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah which he has to keep with him at all times, the Sefer Torah that differentiates and distinguishes him from ordinary Jews, that Torah he has to write himself. Rav Isser Zalman explains that it depends on two different readings of the Gemara when it says Kasav Lois Mishnei Torah Azos, supposed to write two Torahs. The Gemara answers Lo Tzvicha the Shtei Toros, whether the Shtei Toros refers to both of the Torahs that he has to can't suffice with inheriting both of them, or whether when it says L'Shtei Toros it means the second Torah that he can't suffice with inheriting, the Torah which distinguishes him, the Torah which no other Jew is obligated to write. And it seems on the surface that this machlokas between the Rambam, who says that a king's first Torah may be inherited, may be his inheritance and his legacy from his ancestors, and as opposed to Rashi, who says that a king's first Torah is just like the first Torah of a hediot of an ordinary Jew and is insufficient if he inherited it, parallels, maybe you could bring a little bit of a raya from the diuk that I mentioned earlier, that we find that the king's first Torah, the one that he's able to keep it in Aron Kodesh, must be written Lishmo. It's different than the Torah of an ordinary Hadyot. So that therefore it's logical, or it's not so difficult to say that it also differs in that it may be an inheritance from his ancestors. So this is one diuk possibly for the Rambam. Now, I want to just suggest a possibility about what informs this machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. In general, when a person changes personal status, when a person is elevated to a position of authority, when a person reaches a status of maturity, or otherwise, passes a major life event like marriage, so the person's status changes in halacha. And very often halacha will have the question of whether the status that is changed is simply like an addition to the previous status, or whether it's a total change. So for example, the Gemara tells us that at Har Sinai, so Klal Yisrael ceased to be Bnei Noach, they ceased to be non-Jewish, and they became Jewish. That was what happened at Har Sinai. So Achronim have the following question. When we say that Jews became Jewish at Har Sinai, do we mean that they had seven mitzvos of Bnei Noach before Har Sinai, and then when they came to Har Sinai, they got an additional 606 mitzvos for a total of 613, which maybe is a little bit mashma from one Lashon HaRambam? Or do we say then no, that when they came to Har Sinai, so they lost the seven mitzvos of Bnei Noach, and they gained a new 613 mitzvos? In other words, is a Jew simply a Ben Noach plus, or is a Jew a totally different category? And there's nafkamina. Rav Gustman says that there's a nafkamina for a person who's blind. The blind person is pater from all mitzvos, but this is only a din for Jews. So if we say that a Jew is a Ben Noach plus, so then maybe a blind person is chayiv in the Sheva mitzvos Bnei Noach. But if a Jew is like totally different, he doesn't have Sheva mitzvos Bnei Noach at all, and even the seven mitzvos for Jews that parallel the Sheva mitzvos Bnei Noach are a new set of mitzvos, so then when a blind person is exempt, not only is he exempt from the 613 mitzvos, he's also exempt from the Sheva mitzvos Bnei Noach. There's another nafkamina also in terms of the boundaries of each of the mitzvos, because we know that the definitions of terms when it comes to mitzvos for Bnei Noach and those same mitzvos for Jews are radically different. That also seems to suggest that that a Jew is not simply a Ben Noach plus. A Jew is a new category. So that's one matter. Again, that the Chakira, the Gemara, the end of Horios, has a following Chakira. Do we say that a Kohen and a Levi are simply a Yisrael plus? Or do we say that no, that they're an entirely new category? And look in the Gemara there, it'll explain what the Nafkamina is. And the same thing one can ask about a Melech. Is a Melech simply a hediot plus? Is he an ordinary citizen but with a crown on his head? Or is he an entirely new category? You can ask the same thing about many other things also. Let's say Kohen Gadol, is a Kohen Gadol a Kohen plus, or is he a new category? Let's say an Ishes Ish, is she a Penuya plus, is she a new category? You can go on and on ad infinitum, all the different statuses that seem to be a second status that occurs, so something that was given in addition to the ordinary basic foundational status. Does that actually change everything entirely, or is it simply like an extra add-on to the original module? So I would suggest that maybe this is pshat in the machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam, that according to Rashi, who says that the king's first Torah has basically the same halachos as a Torah of an ordinary hadyot, namely that just like a hadyot cannot suffice with inheriting the first Torah from his ancestors, so too a king cannot suffice with inheriting the first Torah from his ancestors. That seems to indicate, again, leaving aside the diuk that I had about Lishma, that seems to indicate that a melech is basically, in terms of his first Torah, he's a hadyot. And then there's a second din, that the melech has a second Torah. The Rambam, who says that no, melech can suffice with inheriting his first Torah from his ancestors, maybe is saying that the mitzvah of Melech having two Torahs is totally different. It's not just the one Torah of a Hadyot plus another Torah. It's a separate mitzvah of the king having two Torahs, one in his storehouse and one to carry with him. And the both of those Torahs are qualitatively different than that of a Hadyot, and that is why he may suffice by inheriting the Torah which he keeps in his storehouse in his Aron Kodesh. He may suffice by having it from his ancestors. So that's one important nekuda that emerges from this machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. Another nekuda, just very briefly, that I want to mention, is the question of the relationship between ksiva and possession. And there's the act of learning Torah, there's the act of knowing Torah, there's the act of writing Torah, there's the act of possessing Torah. It seems for Rashi, who says that every Torah that anybody has, be he a Hedyot or a Melech, must be written by him. He may not suffice, or at least it must be acquired, you know, actively, you know, with effort through him, and not simply inherited passively. It suggests that that having a Torah in your Rishut is a function of actively, you know, seeking it and trying to get it. That those two are inseparable. So therefore, any Torah which a person has that came to him passively, that simply like dropped into his lap, that's not considered having a Torah for Rashi. As opposed to for the Rambam seems to suggest that there maybe is such a concept of having a Torah which a person got entirely passively. At least it's a very limited context. It's for a melech, and it's only for his first Torah. He does have to do the maisa of Ksiva, Sefer Torah. He must, you know, actively pursue a Torah, but it's possible for him to have a Sefer Torah which he simply got passively and to fulfill his mitzvah with it. So for Rashi, the mitzvah of writing and the mitzvah of possessing are totally bound up in one another, whereas for the Rambam, there's perhaps more of a gap or a possible theoretical gap between the writing of a Torah and the possession of a Torah.